The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
Where the city lights don't shine, I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud. I don't mind, I say it loud. This is my America, God bless America, land of the free, because of the brave. This is my America.
All right, welcome to Armed Alabama. Glad you could join us tonight. We've got a good show for you. This is the show, of course, that talks about your Second Amendment rights, firearm and ammo selection, self-defense, home protection, concealed carry, proper training, range etiquette, of course, the law, Alabama law, Mississippi law, Florida law, and federal law. And make sure you can join us here on our Facebook page. We are broadcasting live, of course, on FM Talk 106.5, but we are also simulcasting on our Facebook page, Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. Please like, save, and follow, and that way you'll be notified every time that we post something to our Facebook page, our notification, this, that, and the other. Also, we're on other social media platforms, and we're on Twitter, Armed Alabama 106.5. We also have a YouTube channel, and that is just simply Armed Alabama. Make sure you subscribed, and we have our own website. It's armedalabama.com. You can go there and listen to all of our previous shows. We have them listed going back, Judge, now 2.5 years,
yeah,
just about. Can
and
you
I
believe that?
And I put up a couple of new videos on Armed Alabama. One is Walmart Crime Problem Volume 2. Remember a couple of years ago I spliced together.
Yes.
This is Volume 2.
I actually watched that. I mean, as soon as you posted, it gave me a notification on my smartphone and for this dummy, and I was able to get on there and watch it really.
Right. Walmart. Low prices, high crime always. That's the
and
headline.
We know several people, Judge.
Well, that's why we got into it.
That's been attacked right in Walmart parking lot, broad daylight. And it's just
it could have been very brutal.
Yeah.
Very brutal.
It could have easily been much worse than what it was.
Oh, another one I posted was the police officer shooting through his windshield in Las Vegas. And I put a few photos in that, which we experimented they said, we don't train for this. Well, of course they don't. That's something you really shouldn't do because it's very difficult. Besides the danger to you, you know, the windshield is real thick. It's on a slant.
Yes.
It's not going to go where you aim it.
Well, we actually did, this was, 3 years ago,
yeah,
as a matter of fact. We did this a test with Matt Canovey of Canovey & Associates out of Springfield, Missouri. And he had got a former police car on his range there, and you and I and him, we took turns shooting at targets inside the vehicle, and then, of course, being inside the side of the vehicle itself, within the driver's seat, we shot at targets on the outside of vehicles.
Right.
We shot at targets seated in the driver's seat. We shot targets to our left, immediately to our left, and then immediately to our right, and also I would say probably just a little off center to our left-hand side, off the hood, and where we had to shoot through the windshield, which is a safety glass. And we seen right then and there how the safety glass would catch the bullet during rotation and cause the bullet to be slung at a different angle.
It's almost like shooting through water.
It really was. It was so bizarre.
Dude, when you shoot through a windshield glass like that, do you get any blowback on you?
You can get it doesn't collapse the windshield. You basically get a puncture but you can get a little chip or something in your eye, and you don't have safety glasses on or hearing protection.
Yeah. So, which we had both. But, and of course, we really found out really real fast, and we knew it, but we were able to verify the little trick to be able to shoot accurately through. Actually through a windshield, and there's a trick to it.
Yeah, and imagine chasing somebody and putting those kind of holes through your windshield.
Yep.
You're trying to drive correctly.
Right. And, of course, in that video, you had, I think, was that video you just posted not too long ago?
Yeah, that's the one, like a week ago, maybe.
Yeah, on YouTube, on the Armed Alabama channel, where the officer tried to switch hands. He went from his strong hand, which was his right hand, to his left hand, and you could tell immediately that officer did not train with his support hand or weak hand. And that's something that we stress, Judge, even with the classes that we've taught in the past, just for regular people. Just for regular people, if you conceal carry, you need to be able to carry your firearm and utilize your firearm, not only with your strong hand, but with your support hand as well.
And you can, improve your shooting with it. It's obviously never going to be as good, but first time you do it, it's just like holding a rattlesnake or something.
It feels awkward, yeah.
Right. Well, it's 9/11 today. Can you believe it's been 17
years. It's unbelievable. And you and I were discussing this when we came in this evening. Is where were you at? Do you remember it? Do you remember what you were doing? Do you remember where you were at? Do you remember who you was with?
Well, I'll tell you one good story. I'm putting, getting dressed and all, and it started like at 7:30 our time, first plane hit, and then 15, 20 minutes later. So I'm glued to the TV. So I get down to the office about 8:45 or so, and I get into the elevator that came up from the parking area. There's the county seal, and notice it next time. It shows the building, Government Plaza, and right over it, like a 737 or some airliner, right over the building on the county seal. And I look down and think, oh, darn, what a coincidence, So we kind of, used to have a parking garage that had like a 1x4 arm that came down to keep you out, which you could just play it, you've run through that. So we just closed down the parking garage with the kind of garage doors that day, but it was a real hassle. But after that, we started doing either yearly or twice yearly fire and or bomb evacuations, and there are some people won't take part in it, but they said after the 96 or 94 blast, I can't remember which, 94 I guess it was, at the World Trade Center, they started that then. And how many more people would have been killed had they never done
it? That's a good point. Yeah. Absolutely. They were proficient. I would say proficient, but they had a plan in place to evacuate the people. And the plan, they executed the plan.
Yeah.
That's about as proficient as you can get.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you are listening, and if you remember exactly what you did, you've got a good story to tell on 9/11, when 9/11 happened 17 years ago, you can call us here at the studio. We'd love to hear your story, and the number here is 251-343-0106. And Judge, I'll tell you exactly what I was doing. Of course, I was 17 years younger, but at that time I was working for.
Of course, I was in high school then.
at that time, I was working for a local Navy contractor, and I was working shipboard. And the ship was actually on land at that point, and we were working on the shafts and the propellers of a very, very large destroyer. And as a matter of fact, it was the USS Cole.
Oh, wow. Those were just repairs.
During the repair and refit, where he had just was attacked by terrorists.
Right. And the rubber raft or whatever.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, somebody yelled out to me, hey, there's just been a terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we all went into an office and we huddled up and listened to the radio and what had transpired. But anyway, we'll have more of this When Armed Alabama returns, give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106.
Like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
See, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig. With.
Clint Eastwood's still with us, too. He must be in his 80s. Very talented.
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama. Just before we went to the break, we were saying that if you remember where you were at, what you were doing, and who you were with when 9/11 took place 17 years ago when the aircraft struck the towers, give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106. And as I was stating just before we left for the break, that I was actually working on the USS Cole, which was struck, Judge, by a small craft loaded with high explosives. As a matter of fact, it was actually a suicide attack. It was a shaped charge. Yes, it was a suicide attack.
That was in Yemen, wasn't it?
Yes, well, it was in Yemen.
I was going to ask you. I knew it was in one of those areas. We went on a fall trip to Disney World when that happened, because that's one of those that happened. Probably was in the car.
Yeah, and 17 sailors were killed when that attack took place. And when I actually got a shipboard, when I got on it, it was brought in on a ship.
Yeah.
Actually, ship flooded its ballast tanks, gets underneath of it, and of course picks the water up and picks the ship up. And then it was brought to Pascagoula, Mississippi. And, when we first got on board, you talking about smell. It smelled so bad.
I bet.
On that vessel.
Well, you know, tomorrow is the 39th anniversary of Hurricane Frederick.
Wow.
39.
Now, I remember Frederick.
Yeah. And my wife kind of confused it. They said, we're saying something about the Hugo must have been 10 years later. And I said, whoa, no, it'll be 40 next year, not 30.
Yeah.
So, we started talking about this because the authorities in North Carolina issued one of those orders, or at least some town did. You couldn't even transport a firearm in your car. So if you were evacuating and you were afraid your house was going to be flooded, you couldn't take your guns with you and put them in the trunk. I mean, it's an illegal order. North Carolina has this state of emergency thing that they've removed all that. But, you know, I don't know why that's the first thing people think of. The biggest problem after you get past the storm is looting, and it's not people with guns.
Yeah, what would they have you do, Judge? Leave your weapons in your flooded home so somebody could come steal them?
Yeah, let somebody come steal them all, you know? That's crazy.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's just – I think it's a chance for some governments to kind of throw their weight around, you know, and show they can get away with something.
Sounds like they're looking for a lawsuit because that sure happened with New Orleans.
Right. And video I want to review that, it's the book is by Gordon Hutchison. It's called The Great New Orleans Gun Grab. We actually had him on 2 years ago about right now, maybe the end of August. Listen to the show and read the book. We got a caller, Mike and Daphne, huh?
Hi, Mike. Welcome to Armed Alabama. Glad you could call.
Well, thank you.
What you got for us?
I was in SEMA at repair facility in Pascagoula when this happened.
And it just got branded on your mind, probably.
How did you get the news?
Actually, I was working for the repair officer, and I was sitting in his office, and his wife called and said, the airplane just hit one of the Twin Towers. And we turned the TV on, and we thought it was some kind of accident.
Yeah.
I think everybody did it first.
At first. And then the next plane came in and hit the second tower, and I looked at my repair officer and I said, "This means war."
Wow!
And he's a young lieutenant. He got up, went outside to smoke a cigarette. He couldn't handle it. I said, "I've seen this because I was an old Navy corpsman." I said, "I'm telling you, this is serious stuff here."
Right. Well, the war's still going on, too. You know?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. It really is. So there's your military-industrial complex there.
Oh, boy.
Interesting story. It kind of hit me as an
accident. That's all I got to say.
I remember my father telling me about the B-25.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you calling.
Empire State Building. Thank you, Mike. And he apparently knew somebody who knew somebody who was on the plane. And I just remember that distinctly. And so when this happened, I was thinking, number one, I don't know that the Empire State Building would have come down as easy as the World Trade Center. It didn't have all the glass and aluminum and all that stuff in it. But, yeah, when the second one hit, it was and, you know, that's one of those things, a black swan event. You, by definition, you can't even plan for it because it's so unexpected. It would be like tomorrow, and this is a comet hitting without warning and killing tens of thousands.
And, you
of
know,
people.
Judge, if those guys hadn't acted the way they did on that plane over Pennsylvania, it was coming back around to head for the Capitol, apparently.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was the Capitol building or was it White House?
One or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the still amazing thing is, except in the Pennsylvania case, everybody was cowards like sheep because of a couple of people, well, three or four people, whatever, was with box cutters. And then they let themselves be killed, you know, in a suicide attack. Maybe they lied to them and told them we're hijacking or something. I don't know. But
perhaps you don't know what was said.
Saw the same thing in the Aurora movie shooting in Colorado that, of course, he had several guns, but the whole theater just sat there when he screamed, "Stay where you are," or whatever, instead of rushing him. They watched people get shot, the children and all, in front of them, and nobody did anything.
You ever think about if you were ever caught in that kind of situation? What you actually
kinda
might
hate to say,
do.
I do every place I go to.
Well, you know,
I look at the first place when I hit the door. I look for the exits. I look at this, and yeah, you know,
well, the first thing everybody
how,
do is
how the arrangements
depending
are made.
On and, who you got with you, escape.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
try to confront. Yeah. You escape.
Right.
But then there's some place you can't. So you
but you
make
mentally convince yourself. Well, I would just dive at this guy, you know, or whatever you decided. But you never really know.
No, you don't know.
It really
yeah.
happens.
But you make a point there, Charlie, is this one of the things that the judge and I have talked for years and years and years about is to get yourself in that situation. Think about it beforehand in your mind's eye. What are you going to do? It's just like when you conceal carry. What are you going to do? You need to have
extra magazine with you.
You need to have a plan.
Right.
But you also need to get your brain wrapped around that situation is this may be me or them or my family member or what have you.
Yeah, let's say you have an invalid grandmother in a wheelchair.
And that's half the battle right there is getting your mind wrapped around a situation that may transpire.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie, we want to give away a book to somebody that wins our contest here. It's The Last Siege, the Mobile Campaign, 1865, by one of our guests, Paul Brewski. Great book. And,
great guest. We've had him on the show and really did a good job.
You can get that from Amazon or any of the bookstores.
What's the name again?
It is called The Last Siege, and it's about Mobile being taken in 1865.
If you're into local history, this is a must.
Oh, this is the
must
book.
For your bookshelf.
And speaking of the war between the states, this was we're getting ready to play you a campaign song from the 18, we'll just say in that time period, from 1860 through 68, a campaign song for one of the candidates. And if you know who it is, give us a call here at 251-343-0106.
You're not going to make it easy on them, are
no,
you?
No.
Okay. You are ready for the song?
Ready. If you know what that song, who it's referring to, or what election, give us a call here, 251-343-0106.
Catchy, isn't it?
Yeah. First one to answer correctly gets The Last Siege of the Mobile Campaign, Alabama 1865, by Paul Brewski, who's a local author and been a guest on our show a couple of times.
Here's the last part.
Okay. kind of catchy. Well, we got David on the line here. Hey, David. I just got my counting mixed up. I miscalculated in my math.
It was George McClellan.
You got it. Little Mac.
What about that? First caller.
George McClellan, and he was, of course, the Union general, and he ran against Lincoln in the 1864 election.
Correct. And yeah. He was the Union general, the first general of the Supreme General of the Union forces in the Civil War. And he, from what I understand, he was also kind of thought that Abraham Lincoln was a nut and didn't know what he was doing, which why he wasn't a successful general and why he ran for president against him.
Yeah, he also objected to Lincoln's mentality of destroying private property in the areas that they were attacking and private homes, civilians. And so he just didn't fit with the picture there.
And he probably also disagreed with Lincoln's dictatorial powers that he overtook, like throwing people in jail without the writ of habeas corpus.
Man, is this guy know what he's talking about?
Every bad precedent that you hear, you know, illegal searches, arresting people, closing down the press, they all say, well, it's all right to do it because the Supreme Court said when Lincoln was president, they all go back to him. And
hey, Judge.
He shredded the Constitution.
In case you didn't know it, David may be the brightest caller we have.
Oh, I guarantee you. David, are you in Daphne? You want us just to mail you this book? That'd be easy.
We'll just leave it at the station. I'll come by this week and pick it up.
We'll sure do it. Good for you.
All right.
George McClellan, General George McClellan. He was from a prominent family in Philadelphia. You know, obviously been to West Point, but he was working for a railroad. When the 1860 election took place, and he let Stephen Douglas ride in his own car on the track when Lincoln was back in second class. But anyway, pretty interesting. I don't think he was as bad a general as they made out. I think the press got him. With Half Point through the show, we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Armed Alabama.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you, man.
All right. Comment, we've got text. You can text into our number, 251-343-0106. Dave from Gulf Shores says, ask about Winfield Scott being the first general of the Grand Army of the Republic. It wasn't ever called that until after the war, but General Winfield Scott was the equivalent of Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He was the General-in-Chief from probably 1850 to 1860, and he had actually, I think, entered the Army in War of 1812, but McClellan took over from him because I think he was 81 or 82, and, you know, he was real overweight. They had to push him up on a horse, of course, at that age, but yeah, so yes and no, but then they started going through those generals constantly after that until they got the one they liked that just massacred everybody before him, General Grant. And then Dave comments, who called us earlier. Last Siege is about the land campaign, also involving Spanish Fort Blakely, because as everybody knows, we had the Battle of Mobile Bay, the 1864, but the city of Mobile wasn't taken until end of April 1865. So it's about the land campaign, right? Does that get us taken care of? Gun question, but there's nothing after it, is there? Is it coming in? The one right there says.
So if you got a comment, we're looking for comments or what your experience was 17 years ago when 9/11 took place, when the aircrafts were hijacked. Two of them were flown into the Twin Towers. One of them was flown into the Pentagon. If you remember what you were doing at that time, give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106. We'd love to hear from you and what you remember about that day, because everybody remembers what they were doing where they were at and what was on their mind at that time. You can text as well, but also we are simulcasting on our Facebook page, and that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. Please like, save, and follow, and that way you'll be notified as we post different things.
Do you remember for maybe a couple of weeks after that, the Air Force had jet fighters flying all over the place?
Yes.
I remember going to pick up some lumber and seeing, you know, two jets streak over us, and that was kind of ominous. I want to thank Steve Moore and the Moore Law Firm for being one of our sponsors tonight. If you need any help with any type of personal injury issue, car wreck, industrial accident, a slip and fall, those kind of things, they can take care of you. You can visit them on the web at www.moorelawfirm-al.com or give them a call. And that they're a local law firm here. Their number is 251-445-7602. They're down at 8 North Dearborn Street, which is about a block or two off the square. Let's see. We've got Burke on Cody Road. Hey, Burke.
Buck.
How are you?
You know, like a buck deer?
Yeah. Okay. I got you. Buck. Got
right.
You. Now, you're asking about a Colt revolver.
No. They had this program on TV Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Sunday. Unusual inheritances. And this woman had this big display of Colt revolvers and bolt lines. And I was wondering if anyone else seen that program. And I was so awed by it, I jumped channels when it was over with and didn't even realize what channel I was on.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I didn't either.
You know, I see in the notes here it's mentioning, I'm sure she had the Colt single action army from
she had
18.
Everything.
Yeah.
She had the butt lines and it didn't have the serial number on the cylinder.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a good display. The reason I was thinking about it was in 1952, I sold a Colt Bisley that was original. For
$35. Whoa. I wish somebody, we can probably look it up, what $35 in 1950 would be worth today. And that maybe it still may be this, let's say it's worth $3,500 today.
Yeah.
And that you could buy that gun for $3,500.
Well,
you know.
I just let it pass. At the time, I was in the service.
Yeah.
And, you know, we made everything but $48 a month.
Yeah, so. Right. Right.
I think that 35 made a car payment or something.
Yeah, right. I'm going to track that down and see if I can find the show, though.
Right.
And I'm glad you corrected me about your nickname, because I'm trying to finish up a paper. It's What's Happened to Nicknames.
Right.
And Buck is one I put in there. And it is interesting. I think they've disappeared in a lot of ways. And I'm talking about nicknames that aren't related to your name. I'm not talking about Bill for William or
yeah.
Joe for Joseph, but like Buck and Rusty. I think it's because the government wants to keep up with everybody on computers, so they want your real name.
My daughter didn't know I had a nickname until she read a letter from my older sister that is 93.
Yeah.
She still calls me Buck.
There you go. There you go. That's great. Thank you, Buck. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in, sir.
I had an Uncle Buck. He lived in Houston.
I seen that movie, Uncle Buck.
Well, that's right. That's right.
I think it was... Pretty much. He was pretty much like that.
And while it's technically a nickname, like I say, a shortened name like Rob for Robert or Joe. This could be Joseph or could be Joe. But let's talk about to Joe in Fairhope.
Hey, Joe. Welcome to Armed Alabama.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to share you my thoughts about my experience with 9/11, where I was back in 2001. And I was living in West Mobile off of McFarland Road. And
yep.
I had to travel to Norcross, Georgia once a month for sales meetings because I'm a salesman.
Yeah.
And so what normally is a large conference room of jovial, very loud, boisterous sales guys talking about how well we're doing our jobs and such and giving our presentations and such was all of a sudden came to a halt whenever our secretary came in and said, y'all, there's something going on in New York City. And it must have been serious enough for this lady to interrupt our sales meetings here. and put on the TV sets, and what we all thought we saw was assumed was a small aircraft into the first trade world the trade center, and then it quickly dawned on us that these were passenger airlines that slammed into the buildings. And what we actually saw on TV set watching the buildings collapse, and you could hear a pin drop in the room for hours at a time.
Wow.
And during our lunch break, our supervisor said, guys, just there's nothing here for us to talk about anymore. Let's just go ahead and go home to be our families. Well, I had a long drive to go back to Mobile, so I was just going to stay put and do my paperwork, leave around 5 o'clock and hit the interstate, having to go through downtown Atlanta, which is always bumper to bumper. But it was just shocking to see that there was virtually no one on the interstate when I was traveling through.
That would be spooky. Because this, like you say, it's frightening how crowded it is. And you either stop or you're going 80, you know.
Indeed. And the interstate was all to my own except for a few cars. And then coming through next to the airport, you got the marquee over the interstate that alerts you to warnings and such as that. And it said, Hartsfield International Airport closed due to national emergency. And it just sunk in with me at that moment.
Yeah.
Just the gravity of the situation.
Wow. Wow. Great story. Thank you for calling us, Joe. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you for taking my call. Good day.
Yeah, they grounded all the aircraft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
And especially commercial.
Do you know any Bubbas or Butches or Buddies or Reds, Rusties, Haps, Happies, Junior, Max, Caps? You just don't. Shorties? I know a Shorty.
I do, too.
Pinky, Dusty.
Adam, you're going to tell us yours?
Have them out.
I don't have a nickname.
my nickname is
Loser.
Pete.
I had a good friend.
What was your nickname?
Pete.
Pete?
Yeah, my mom thought it was hilarious, Pete Moss.
Well, it's funny because
evidently you do too.
I thought that was funny.
A good friend of mine, the name Butch is often given to a junior when the fight, so you won't have the same name.
Right.
And this person was known as Butch his entire life till he went to college. And that's when he decided to go to his real name. And heck, I didn't know till he was 20. I'd known him 5 years before everybody in his hometown called him Butch, but everybody else is John. And it's kind of the same with me. My mother said, don't give him a nickname, me. And 3 days old, I had the nickname. And then when I went to first grade, well, we got to change his name, call him, I don't know whether it was Joe, what. That didn't work. Once you get that handed to you.
you get stuck with it.
Yeah, you do. And then when you get a mortgage or whatever, you sign 10 affidavits, about your name, and there somehow Rusty Johnston shows up. I'm either that person or not that person.
I think my nickname was just Strange. That guy's Strange.
Yeah, I got to put my head on and get some more names.
Which
up.
Was heck to grow up with a last name Strange when you're a kid, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you try to meet girls.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, hey, how you doing? Hi.
This girl's thinking, I'm not going to ever be Mrs. Strange.
Right.
Well, they say, well, what's your name? I say, my name is Adam. And they're like, well, what's your last name? It's Strange. Well, I don't care. Tell us anyway.
Yeah. Just spell it for me.
All right, we'll be back with more Armed Alabama.
Inside of me, running down a way of life, our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I like you, Philip. But be assured, bite my hand, and I will put you down. Your division is in charge of native crime. Or would you rather I was in charge of native crime? I don't think you'd like my methods.
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama. Our show tonight, we're talking about 9/11 and where were you at 17 years ago when the attacks took place, when the two aircraft hit the Twin Towers, and also another aircraft had hit the Pentagon, and the fourth aircraft, the passengers actually rose up and tried to take back the plane, and then subsequently the terrorists actually grounded the airplane or flew it into the ground. And of course, that plane was slated to strike the Capitol somewhere, whether it was the Capitol building or the White House. I'm not sure if that was actually ever made clear. But if you remember where you were at, what you were doing, and the story you had to tell, please call in tonight and let us know what it was and what you were doing and what your thoughts were. You can call us here at the studio, 251-343-0106. We'll be glad to hear from you. Also, of course, if you have a gun question or a self-defense question or concealed carry clip question, by all means, give us a call here, 251-343-0106, and you can text to that same number. Judge, I stated earlier tonight that when the 9/11 attacks took place, I was working on the USS Cole, which was being repaired from a previous terrorist attack. Terrorists used a small craft laden with high explosive and, of course, struck the ship and detonated it, killing 17 sailors.
Yeah, I wanted to drop in another way of thinking about this, too. If you have children that are in elementary, middle, or high schools, or grandchildren in school, they were not around when that happened. So we kind of have an obligation, I think, to let them see the video and tell them what that was all about.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's hard for us to believe.
A high school senior was, maybe a few of them had been born then, most of them not.
Yeah, I thought our children were young, but weren't they? They were in school at the time. I can't remember. Okay.
No, that's a good point. All right, we've got two callers here. Paul is calling in regards to 9/11. Hi, Paul. Welcome to Armed Alabama.
Hey, guys. How are y'all tonight?
Fine. All right. How about you?
What you got for us?
Well, I was me and my dad and my wife and one child at the time. I was actually on my way back from Washington.
Whoa.
When it happened.
Wow, did you hear it on the radio?
So,
how did
I guess
you find
my whole
out about
story
it?
Is that I was glad I left, 12 hours early.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the commotion it caused. Boy. And the amazing thing is, as I recall, the attack on Afghanistan was maybe about 6-8 weeks later, and we're still there.
Yeah, and I actually watched a movie on that not too long ago with The Horseman or whatever.
Yeah.
But, Paul, thank you for calling in. And this is Paul from Three Brothers Arms, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Great shooting range over in Baldwin County.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're in Baldwin County and you're looking for a shooting range, then definitely Three Brothers Arms is a place to go. And say hello to Paul and tell him that Armed Alabama sent you. All right, next on the call list is Brian, is calling from Centennial. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Hey.
Enjoying the show. I have barbershop in Centennial, and I had a shop full that morning. And I had a customer in the chair, and we saw the second plane hit. And
see, I thought they were repeating film from the first plane
hit. Right. Yeah. It was just a shock to everybody in the shop, all grown men in there. One by one, they just started leaving.
Wow.
And it got to where the only one left in the shop was one that was in the chair. I'm talking about eight other people waiting.
Yeah.
And, well, we knew it wasn't an accident by then.
Watch what was going on, and anyway, when he left, I didn't have a customer again until about 10 o'clock.
Wow.
So I decided to, just to shut down, go fill my car up with gas. I did, and I come back to the shop. I waited around there another hour. Nobody showed up, so I thought, well, maybe I ought to go get some groceries. And when I got to the grocery store, it was just like you see for a hurricane.
Wow.
People were buying groceries.
Wow.
So it's the fear, fear in everybody. That's just my memory of it.
Well, Brian, another thing to emphasize, we were talking about nicknames disappearing. Old-time barbers are disappearing, too.
Yes, sir. There's very few of us left.
Oh, I know. I'm going to stop getting my hair cut when mine retires. But I guess a lot of it has to do with these kind of chain, cosmetology, they cut men and women's, kind of super cuts and all that. But it's not the same thing to me.
No, it's just something that goes in circles, and it's just very few of us left, and don't know what's going to happen. There's hardly any young people that's getting into it.
Right.
You know, young men anyway. There's girls always getting into beauty shops.
Yeah.
Very few men, male barbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, those old-fashioned barbershops are like a man cave.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Well, you can pick up on that. Was a good place to campaign back 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
Catch up on Field and Stream and Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. Right, right.
But we love sitting down. Brian, thank you so much. And give us another call later next week.
You're
welcome.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you calling in. Judge, we have a few texts here, and I think this might be a good question for you. I'm not sure exactly how
to. The suppressor?
Yeah.
I have to look at it doesn't quiet it enough so I could murder somebody in here. It may take 100 and let's say 165 decibels down to 130. So it's still going to be pretty loud. It may not damage your hearing.
Yeah, it's still
a 22 subsonic. Maybe
or a 9mm subsonic or a 45 subsonic.
Part of that,
of
we're
course.
Seeing subsonic because it's the bullets breaking the sound barrier.
Right. Well, he's asking the text here. He's asking about a 7mm mag. So that's you're still going to have a supersonic round, and you're still going to get the crack from that bullet breaking the sound barrier. The other question is, Judge, is what is the law regarding suppressors for rifles and firearms in Alabama?
Well, we follow the federal law, and as I understand it, they're illegal to have unless you have you've done the tax transfer and all federally.
Yep.
And that's it's a big hassle. Let's face it. You got to wait a couple of months usually, and I don't know much. They're really not that expensive themselves, but it's something that I think is because of the movies and all. People think you can murder folks, and it'll just be.
Yeah, it's just going to be just a slight little whisper, and that's not it. It's still quite loud. As a matter of fact, Judge, McCoy Outdoors sells a wide variety of suppressors.
Well, that's right. And they know what to do. And they'll tell you, for instance, if you ask that question about the sound, well, if you're looking for something that's going to be quiet, you're not going to have earplugs, you don't want to buy this because you're going to be disappointed.
Well, people like to refer to them as silencers, and that's not what they are. They are not a silencer.
Right.
They are a suppressor. They only suppress the sound. It definitely does not go away.
Right.
But if you're looking for a firearm, if you're looking for that firearm and suppressor, then absolutely McCoy Outdoors is the place to go.
Our local store, and I say local, Mobile Baldwin, the 100 miles around here is worth seeing. And they're on Spring Hill Avenue, just west of I-65 overpass in the Spring Hill Shopping Center, where the OK&B and they're in the OK&B, but that's where Woolco was and Pantry Pride.
They've got everything that you could think of: clothing, tennis shoes, even running shoes.
They have to be related to guns and ammo.
They've got it all, and their staff is extremely knowledgeable. So make sure you go see make sure you go see McCoy Outdoors and tell them Armed Alabama sent you.
Right. Let's see. We thank you all. We'll be back next week with another Armed Alabama, and we'll see you then.